dun 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 dun. Okay, I think I already screwed up the timing. I've only actually listened to that OP like once. Grant's gonna be upset when he hears this. As you may or may not know, I skip the intros in all shows, regardless of whether or not it has an amazing OP. And some of you will consider that sacrilege, and the rest of you don't know what I'm talking about. Hello, we're back. What is this, episode 132? We got some fun stuff. We're in the thick of it already. It's mid-October. Mocktober. Dragon Ball Daima. Episode 1, series premiere. We jump into that. We jump into My Hero Academia, season 7, and its finale. Shangri-La Frontier Season 2, we briefly touch on that since I didn't watch it. And then we can get into Dan Da Da Dan Da Dan Da Dan. Episode 1 and 2 are out. We talk about those. We talk about Uzumaki and the drama surrounding it. You can hear the cats, and you can bet I'm not re-recording this. Blue Lock Season 2 and all of its PowerPoint glory. Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War, Part 3. Grant talks a bit about that before we discuss The Penguin and my lack of watching the last two episodes that have come out, but I'm going to get to it. And then we got news sprinkled throughout, okay? So you're welcome, and enjoy.
Psycho Season 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey there, Grant.
Hello, David.
How you doing there, Governor?
I'm good. I'm full stuffed up with turkey and taters and...
Oh, my God.
Pumpkin pie.
Let's get right into it here.
Real Thanksgiving? Yeah, it is real Thanksgiving.
Sorry, turkey, ours. Overrated.
No.
Sorry, dude.
Fuck off.
Shepherd.
You are so off base right now, it's unreal.
What? Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
What is turkey good at that chicken isn't better at? You're right. Conversation over.
No. It's such a... Oh my God, you're such a troll. it's perfect because you only need it twice a year. And you are happy and you get a taste of it in October. Real Thanksgiving. Sorry, America. And then in Christmas, you know, it's just a two perfect little 3-month window. Maybe have some frozen leftovers in November.
Ugh.
Nah, dude.
Oh, God. Frozen turkey. That's the only thing maybe worse than fresh turkey.
No, dude. You were. I gotta say, I smoked turkey this weekend. Unreal.
Yeah.
Really took my confidence as, like, a, you know.
I'm glad to hear that.
As one of the men in the family, I felt pretty good.
No, I mean, yeah, I won't rob you of that. Yeah. Smoking, you made us some smoked salmon recently. That was divine.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good.
Truly, really, really good. And I will say, I've seen a lot of bagels, like smoked salmon on bagels.
Yeah.
And when I see it, I'm usually a little worried because it looks a lot more raw than what you gave us.
Yeah.
I loved what you did to that thing. It was like perfection.
Yeah, dude. Thank you.
That was wild.
Leanna was very happy to see some leftovers make it home.
Yeah, man. It was hella good.
Dove right into it. Zooming home for an hour.
Yeah. Maybe last thing I'll say on the turkey thing is just so much of it comes down to the gravy as well. You know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like... Yeah,
but it still makes me think, like, you take a great gravy and you put it on a chicken, and that's probably better.
You know what I mean? A hot chicken sandwich, yeah, like a Sammy Bears. Oh, God.
We saw one.
Soggy bread? Do you still eat, like, gravy with the bread? Or do you, like, are you people that separate the two?
Like, with relation to hot chicken sandwiches?
Yeah.
No, I would, ooh, good question.
No, I saw a guy do that one time, and I was gawking at him. I had never seen it before. I watched him like, you know, with his hand brush the chicken off the bread, and then proceeded to dunk his. It was wild. So I was like, it was just like a pile of chicken and gravy and peas on the one side.
Well, that's just not like cricket.
Hot bread. It was wild. I couldn't look away.
Who did this?
I was gonna say, like, years ago, I was just at St. Hubert's, and the guy at the table from us, solo eating, and I was just gawking at him. I was like, couldn't look away. I was
peculiar.
Like, what's this guy doing?
Nothing wrong with eating solo, but the way he did it, that's what we're upset about.
Oh, yeah. I love a solo meal. You know, at a restaurant, pop in somewhere, God, in and out.
It's funny. We were driving home from that cottage, and we saw St. Hubert on the way, and we were like, oh, my God, when was the last time I you do that. And then our friend was like, you know, every time I visit home, I go. I was like, what? What kind of an animal are you?
Really?
Yeah, he says he goes all the time.
Oh.
Isn't that weird behavior?
Yeah, that's like birthdays, maybe. And even that, it's so rare.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I'm glad we got to the root of this and confirmed that turkeys suck. But
nah, well.
All right. Speaking of shows that nobody asked for, did you watch Dragon Ball Daima?
I did.
No, I'm kidding. It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, well, I gotta say, I actually got a shout or a text from Bronson today of like, so you guys are talking about that on the pod tonight. I'm about to watch it, but big Dragon Ball fan.
Yeah, I joke.
I have a lot of questions for you.
I don't have a lot of the answers. I know what I saw in the pilot.
Okay, I think this is more like kind of like big picture and okay. Like more of the past, not like with plot going forward. I'm not too sure.
Gotcha.
So this is clearly takes place like within like a breath of like the Buu saga ending. Is my takeaway?
No, that's accurate. But there are some retcons that they've done, and it's weird
already. Okay,
already like they've retconned stuff they've done in both Dragon Ball Z and in Super, and okay. They just did Super like a couple of years ago. So it's clearly like an offshoot story. And then when now, like you told me, and I looked into it, like Toriyama was involved, so it's like, wait, so
this was his idea. I was reading, he had to pitch this to Toei. I was like, hey, let's like, I got this thing, let's do it. And they're and like, that, oh,
but okay. It's weird though, right? Because the other thing, like, okay, I recognize we're a little all over the place here.
No, I think we're good.
But what I was gonna say is they did probably their best movie yet under Toriyama, in Dragon Ball Super Broly.
Okay.
And everyone's complaint, I mean, not everybody's complaint, but one major complaint that the fan base has had for a long time is like a lot of the movies that they did, the Dragon Ball Z movies in particular, mm-hmm. were never canon. They were like...
Which is common, right? Thing, yeah.
But so many cool characters were in those movies, namely Broly. Mm. So when they did the Broly movie, it was an opportunity to be like, hey, you know, Toriyama's like, oh, right, I was involved in character design, but then I never thought about him again. And now it's a good opportunity to revisit it. And okay. They fixed a lot of issues with his character's motivation, personality. They made him an actual interesting character. Mm. Especially, so it's one of those rare instances where you visit a fan favorite decades later and you actually make it better when you rewrite him.
Sure.
So, like, by all means, like, I would
kind
call that...
all wounds.
Yeah, total slam dunk. But it's interesting because the Dragon Ball GT has a very similar premise in that like a random villain uses the Dragon Balls to make Goku young.
Okay.
Like yes. That's okay. What Dragon Ball GT was, but it was notoriously was not canon because Toriyama was not involved. So he has sort of like it's like he lifted this failed series idea, made it his own.
Made it his.
And yeah. Now we have Daima. And it's just very odd. Like, without if I didn't know that GT existed, I think I'd be more excited. But I've seen a lot of GT, okay. And a lot of it is, like, eerily similar to this pilot. At least as far as stories.
That's an interesting thing to look into. Okay, so that's question one. I do have quite a handful of things. I very much enjoyed the 30 minutes.
Same.
So strange.
Really, really good pilot.
32-minute pilot. Yeah. Like, 7 minutes of, like... credits. And I was like, how did we not like fit this in? Like, and I just found it strange. Like, they made it longer, like literally just longer credits. But after having watched this, I now it was like it all kind of came flooded back to me because the last time I seriously sat down and watched Dragon Ball anything was, you know, like a Saturday afternoon in my youth. You know, it was like somewhere in the Cell Saga or the Buu Saga.
Yeah. And they retconned Buu's death as well.
So I was going to say, there's, like, a lot of things. I'm like, oh, okay, I remember that. And, like, in just, you know, like, little snapshots of, like, Frieza and Cell. And I was like, oh, you know what? Like, I was, like, kind of, like, along for this, at least the Z journey. You know, because, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, I watch this every single day after school for, like, what, 5 years? I'm sure I've seen most of it. If not, like, I'm sure a lot of reruns and all that. So it was kind of, like, it's not like I get the badge of honor. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm still, like, I'm a real Dragon Ball fan there. But I definitely have watched more than I kind of let on. So that was kind of cool to see that. But are the Saiyans not in the demon realm? That was one of my big questions. The Namekians were, but the Saiyans aren't. So, like, how did the Namekians and the Saiyans first come to fight, like, eras ago? in the lore? Do you know that? Is that a question?
Yes and no. Okay, yeah, I get your question. It's kind of backwards. It's like, don't even think of the demon realm as... I don't think you are, but for you and for the audience, like, if anyone's confused by this, like, literally, they do a really good job explaining the demon realm briefly in Dragon Ball Z, but really just think about it as the other side of the coin. It's not an alternate world. It's
an upside-down situation.
Yeah, it's the upside-down. Okay. So it's like anyone can technically go there, but you don't, you generally speaking, do not, right? So sure. Like the Namekian that's there has been there apparently for 1,000+ years. We don't even know how he got there. We haven't seen any Saiyans there. So,
but they didn't. So this new king guy, he didn't seem to even know what a Saiyan was.
Yeah, yeah.
So is there like, are they just like not up to date on each other's lore and history? Clearly, because they're watching TV and they're watching events play out. So is the assumption that like they just like don't really know each other's history at all? Like they're apart technically?
That would be my assumption. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe these new bad guys are gonna know a lot about Earth and its coming and goings now that they've watched the recap video on YouTube.
I thought that was hilarious, by the way.
It is not a bad idea. Fast forwarding
and moving and like skipping. They did a really cool thing, and I don't know.
And they reanimated a lot of those scenes.
They purposely like fast forwarded too much, and when they went back, they skipped over the part. Like they missed over stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, they don't have the full details, like, when they, you know, they fucked off to Earth. I thought that was such a nice little touch of, like, oh, like, this guy is, like, an idiot. Which is, like, you know, the humor of Dragon Ball. Like, I remember that much, but, okay, so, I guess what I'm trying to, like, piece together is maybe the Namekians in the Demon Realm have, like, are extinct or whatever, but, like, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they were. Maybe we'll learn more about it. It's weird that there only seems to be the one guy, and he's as old as hell. Maybe he was from our, you know, air quotes, reality, sure, and somehow wound up in the demon realm, or maybe he was born there, but yeah, hard to say, but like, in general, I think one thing that's clear is also, like, there's just different races there, right? It's not all humanoids or all
like, oh, if you're you're technically of the demon world, except 20 years or whatever, so.
Oh, that's true, right? Like, that, they've never really done the whole, it's about the ears thing before. That, as far as I can tell, is new. I was like, what are they talking about?
I gotta say, having not, like, seen much Dragon Ball media over the years, Mr. Popo caught me off guard.
Yeah, no, same. The voice caught me off guard. I was curious if they switched. I haven't looked, because I haven't
seen it. Well, I watched it in Japanese, not to be, like, you know.
No, me too.
A dub naysayer. Is the dub even out? Or is it?
I don't think so.
And I've never liked Goku's voice in the original Japanese.
Oh, it really does grow on you, but you know that. It's like, it's one of those things, right? It's the sub people are always going
to
say that.
It's one of those things, like, you know, when I think there's two properties that I think back to. I can, when I think of a show, I can hear the English voices, and it's Full Metal and it's Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
No, so it is so hard to, like, wrap my head around, like, oh my God, Vegeta doesn't talk like that.
You know what my thing has been is going back and forth between the two, and we've talked about this, just mistranslations and, like, poor adaptations a lot of the time, is I think I like the voice actor more for Goku, but I hate what they do to his dialogue in English.
Oh, interesting.
It's a major, major might be stretching it. I would say it's a significant difference in the way they translate it for his lines.
Anyway. I dug it, dude. I dug it. Like I said, I got a pretty heavy load this season, I think.
Oh my God, right? I don't even know what's happened.
But I think this will be one I'll catch in, like, maybe every 2 weeks, you know, and then watch a couple episodes, like, kind of that way. Like, I'm trying to stay week to week with this one, I think, might be a little tough. But also, has it always looked this good, or is this just, like, a very exceptional, like, they're swinging with this one?
I was going to say, one thing we have to address is how good it looked, because one thing that I think I'm trying to think if there's any major exceptions, but I'm pretty sure every series that Dragon Ball has done has had notorious ups and downs with quality. I never really noticed it as a kid.
Sure.
But when I watched Super, I remember, like, it was like, you know, it's like 3/4 of one of the arcs is just legit bad, like fan animation level bad. And it was to such an extent that I remember the community would look up which director was doing which episodes, being like, oh, don't worry, it's this guy, it's going to be a good one.
Gotcha.
Because it was just so unreliable episode to episode. So I'm super curious if they stay anywhere near this level. Because, like, even the CG looked good. Everything they did in this episode looked fantastic.
Yeah, no, I was kind of shocked because I had remembered kind of like your anecdotes on the inconsistencies of Super.
Yeah.
And again, you know, like rose tinted glasses in our youth with the older stuff. But I don't know. They did this really. There'd be cuts to like the demon castle, and I'd just be like, holy cow.
I
like,
know. That's,
you know, like that is beautiful. And then
the funny way they. It's also like there's also some good comedy. Like the way they traverse from the demon world to the human world. Like you go through the big fish. You do the whole thing. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. And like even too of like, oh, like, you know, what universe. You know, okay, like what? Right. Okay, like what? You and then break it
they
down.
They address the multiverse, yeah. So that's because that means like they're keeping some of.
Super. Is this their way of like just trying to keep in all the movies?
Yeah,
as one.
It's weird maybe? Because also my understanding is this is post Boo but pre Battle of the Gods, so there won't be any Beerus, there won't be any Whis.
Beerus is the cat guy.
Yeah, yeah, God of Destruction. So it's just weird.
Who's the dude with, like, the really big black eyes? That like, Roy... He looks like Dave Bautista there. Who's that?
Oh, my God. Who on earth could you be?
Bald head. Like, big, big, like, solid black eyes. I think he has, like, a red and black jumpsuit of some sort.
Not even... Nothing.
He has, like, I think, like, holes his ears kind of thing.
Who's that? Oh, Jiren.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, he's, like, the, you know, one of the big, big foes towards the end of Super.
Oh, so he's a super villain. Okay, I wasn't sure where he fit in.
Not even necessarily a villain, but I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
In case you ever get around to it.
I do have to say, like, I'm not trying to be down. Also, I thought it was really cool this kind of dropped around the same time as that Sparking Zero game that, like, everyone was, like, losing their shit over the weekend.
3 million copies sold in 24 hours.
Good for them, dude. Like, people are... I'm so happy. I just like seeing good anime games being made. So, and, you know, it's getting me fired up. There's a Bleach game coming out soon. Damn. Kind of like an arena fighter, but it looks the previews look like really really good, so I'm super jazzed for that. But we'll talk more about Bleach later. But I gotta say, having watched this, I really enjoyed it. At no point did I ever feel like an urge to like, oh, I should go back and like check all that stuff out. Like there's something about, and it's not even the length and like the you know, there's so many series and movies and this and that. Like, it's not even that. Like I'm watching One Piece for Christ's sake, but like. You know, I don't know. I just, something about, like, I think I'm just happy with this for now.
Yeah.
But there definitely was no pull. And I really was kind of hoping that I was like, oh, I'm going to be, like, sucked right in. But yeah, we have a full season there. And I imagine this is going to be more than 12. I think this will get stretched out.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm very curious about pacing episodes. I'm curious about all of it.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Good pilot.
Yeah, great pilot. Speaking of ups and downs, let's just get My Hero out of the way here.
Ups and downs, really? No, okay.
Okay. Well, we may actually disagree here. I'm curious to hear what your thoughts were on season 7, episodes 20 and 21. This is basically the like Sad Man Death Parade episode, and then the culmination of like the story between Himiko Toga and then like Ochako. And then there's the also the All Might
Unreal.
The All Might All for One, like the young version of him fighting with All Might in the mech suit. How do you feel about the
loved it, honestly, dude. Like I'm not trying to like do any revisionist history here, but like, you know, and this was a good season. I think now that it's over, I think I can confidently say it was good.
Is it over?
Not yeah, it's done. That was the finale.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the stinger was like final season. See you next year.
Oh wow.
Like you saw like All for One v All Might in the mech suit.
Yeah. Oh no, that was yeah. Battle without a quirk.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was it.
Yeah, I thought
wild.
I thought it was an incredible way to end. Personally, no Deku whatsoever, which I thought was a choice. But you know, I think they
really I didn't realize it was a finale because I thought like we haven't. Like, Deku's been in limbo for, like, 5 straight episodes.
So that answers our question, Dave. Like, we were like, what is the ending? And the ending is probably going to be Midoriya and Shigaraki throwing down for 10 episodes, which I'm honestly okay with. If they stick with that.
Right.
And just give us that screen time. And there's going to be other surrounding stuff and cuts here and cuts there. But, like,
oh, yeah, they did.
I kind of feel better going into the finale or the final season. But no, I loved it. Like I thought these last two episodes were the absolute high points of the entire season. I had a lot of trepidation because like they've kind of been trickling Toga along all season and over the years, like a lot as well. Like maybe like, you know, I think Dobby maybe got like a little more of the screen time that like maybe Toga could have gotten.
Yeah.
you know, and it kind of felt like it was just like kind of like burst with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel like, okay, the way they're going to wrap this up, I think I'm going to be unsatisfied, or this is going to be a little messy. And like, you know, like lore wise and kind of like yada yada, like, you know, I was bad, but I'm good. And like all that aside, it was a true spectacle of a final fight. The way, like, the uniqueness of a non-violent quirk of Ochako's versus, like, you know, like, just the kind of, like, the yin and yang of the two of them. And, like, the Sideman Parade, because, like, the bombardment of mass and bodies and just kind of, like, her kind of, you know, the chain reaction effect. Like, her final move, essentially, and kind of, yeah, like, putting the fight, I thought was, A, was beautiful. Very incredibly well animated, considering that majority of those, the Twice characters or the clones are, it was all like CG or 3D, which, mm-hmm, you know, can kind of get messy and ugly. And there was a couple,
very apparent, yeah.
Very apparent, but like it all kind of, you know, kind of came together. And the creepy ass shot of like the, you know, the cutest girl in the world or whatever, like, you know, I take that or leave it.
There was an incredible frame of, yeah, like the, you know, like the visual, like the artistic impression that they were going for.
But that's what I'm saying. Like all that stuff works. Like, again, like the actual meeting and like what is said, like, you know, like I thought it did work for me. I can see why people are like, oh, it just kind of like, you know, but like the whole thing of like, you know, they set up how Twice saved Toga's life,
mm-hmm,
by creating a clone and like, you know, she copying the clone and then transferring the blood. And like, you know, that was a callback to that moment. Yeah. They even show it.
Of course,
no one remembers. Like,
they have to,
and you know, like kind of like you know, kind of sacrifice yourself for, you know, Uraraka and all that. But I thought I was just kind of like blown away, and then because I watched them back to back,
yeah.
And dude, I was off the couch when All Might like threw down. I was like, this is the best the show's ever been, in my opinion. The way they can, just the whole like the battle of the quirk thing, and just, you know, like really. The call-outs to the class 1A, how he, like, they changed him and how they inspired him, yeah, and all these years he's the one that inspired them and the whole world. I just, it was like, honestly, dude, I was a little emotional. I was like, this is incredibly well packaged,
mm-hmm,
and created. And I thought it was an incredible send-off. Like, he's toast. Like,
yeah, I was gonna
next
say,
season, I think he's not gonna.
Sorry, guy, who knows? Out in a blaze of glory here.
But he did. He went out in an absolute blaze. And I don't know, dude. I was so in. It was perfect, in my opinion.
There you
considering,
go.
Again, comparing the rest of the season is what it is. But this was like,
chef's you felt kiss. That it ended on a high note.
I was like, it's not like they won me back. Like, it's not like I've hated on, you know, we've kind of punched down or whatever. But like, we don't hate the show. And it was just like, these are the absolute moments of brilliance that it has shown us before and continue. Like, specifically the All Might versus, you know, One for All, like the most recent one, the final episode. That's, yeah, on par in season 4 with Overhaul, Deku versus Overhaul.
Oh my god, yeah.
Which, again, like just like the single shots of all the fists in the air and, you know, kind of yeah, coming down on Overhaul. And I don't know. I think it's one of the best episodes they ever made, personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're far apart.
Yeah, hit me with it. Tell me about it. How do you feel?
Okay, so, like, yeah, I don't want to be hypercritical and be like, I disagree with everything you said, I hated it. I don't feel that way at all. I agree that the All for One stuff was the best part.
Sure.
And a good way to end it. But, yeah, to your point, like, I didn't even know it was a series finale. I might have paid closer attention and like or looked at it a little more differently if I knew it was wrapping things up. But that with that in mind, like, I think they did a really good job of making All Might feel like he's in real danger. And like you made a good point about like the whole, how full circle his whole story has come,
mm-hmm,
the mech suit, all the tie backs to all the students. Like, I agree. I think I really, really dug that. It's not that high up on like my favorite fights list as it is for you, but it's still great. Cause the story kind of started with these two characters.
Yep.
So to see them thrown down like this is really cool. And like, yeah, to your point, like, I think it sets him up maybe for kind of a cool death. We'll see. And if and when he goes, I'll be legit bummed. Like, they've done a really good job with that character overall.
And like, I think there was a bit, like, there's definitely some nostalgia at play for me. Because like the voice performance of his has been like so distinct and so, yeah, strong and powerful. And he has been like, again, like, cause he's ill and he's hurt. He's been like his, you know, base self or, you know, like starting form or whatever you want to call it. And he is shrunken. Like, he's not, And it was like to see him like big and bold and like the moments of him like, oh, like I got to put, you know, like him like talking to himself the way he would talk to a student, to actually see like All Might like in a fight. Like, you know, I feel like in season three when they had their previous fight, it was more like, it was less inner dialogue. It was more just kind of like throwing hands and like, oh, like, you know, I got to be mindful of everyone.
God, it, just such to a
see
good
him
fight.
Is such a good fight, but like to see him like catch the points of like, okay, I got him where I want him. I need to push this and like, yeah, you know, throwing it all to the wind, knowing. And again, like, I didn't love how like they have like his buddy was so quick to be like, oh yeah, like, you know, he's throwing his life away for 2 minutes. Like, we can all put that together. He's doing this to give,
yeah, I mean,
more minutes. And like, again, that's an animeism, and you know,
not a lot, yeah, of nuance in general, right? With especially, no, My Hero, it's very on the nose. It's like, if you don't remember, here's a flashback.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought like him like really trying to push those points, and he knows this guy. He's been fighting him the whole one for all mentality in history has been,
yeah,
flying in the face of this villain. Yeah. And I thought it was a good to a front end, but
hell yeah,
yeah.
No, I loved. I not as much as you, but I can't really criticize it too much. I genuinely enjoyed that. I think, yeah, probably where we're further apart is I think that in these two episodes, because so much of it was so much of the airtime was dominated by the Toka and Ochako,
yep,
fight / confrontation, and the,
like,
and the
one and a third. It was like a full episode, and then yeah, like, the opening of the night. I was surprised they opened with that, yeah, but it makes sense. They wanted to close it out with All Might.
But if that doesn't land for you, then it's like, you know, 3/4 of these two episodes don't really land.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're not a fan of that, you might not be a fan, and that's kind of where I'm at. I was never super engaged in the Toga character. I think it was like an interesting character that they were trying to do stuff with.
Yep.
Her relationship with Ochako, like, I hate to say this,
okay,
but I was fast-forwarding, yeah, through this shit. I was like, in my notes, it just says they're monologuing, I literally don't care. Like,
yeah,
it was tough.
To your point with that, I'm like not even remotely invested. Like, I thought that was such, like, grasping at straws a bit. I was more the presentation, like, the fight itself,
yeah,
I thought
was...
Good. Was really, look, I just, I thought it was a smart way to take like two different types of like hero and villains, and you know, whereas like then you get next episode, you have All For One and All Might, and they're just smashing, you know, it's just, yeah, like fist on fist.
Major,
it was
difference.
Yeah, but
all right, we got some stuff to cover. Let's move on. Dan to Dan.
All righty, I'm curious to talk to you about this.
This is a big one. So this is a simulcasting on Netflix and on Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm.
I think you told me, is this correct? Like, hey, like, this is a big one. Maybe try
it
and
is a big one,
prioritize,
yeah,
it. So, because the manga is big, right?
Yeah, it's like kind of like the between it and Chainsaw Man, Dan to Dan, and Sakamoto Days are kind of like holding up the whole Shueisha Shonen Jump kind of, you know,
okay,
spectacle right now.
So
like,
these are
the big ones.
The heavy hitters of today.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like people, you know, everyone's saying, oh, like, you know, it was Jujutsu Kaisen's,
yeah,
and My Hero's time for an extended period. Now,
sure,
it's like these guys. And I think that is genuinely the case.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely came out swinging. Yeah, so I've seen both episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I love episode 2 significantly more than I love episode 1. Pilots are hard.
They had a lot to get out of the way.
There's like some pretty creepy, like rapey scenes that I felt were a little gratuitous.
Very gratuitous and a little
it's probably in the manga, right? And what are they,
yeah,
supposed to do?
Yeah, yeah. But like it reminds me in a similar way that like Chainsaw Man is done. You know, like the hat, there is like the, not quite that gratuitous, but like there's the, you know, aspersions too, and the kind of like,
no, you're right though, sexual content is definitely a part of that story,
but like they do execute, and I think, you know, like they definitely kind of like go there, like they're really stressing the point, but like the timing of like the rescue and this and that, and I do like I'm really glad they didn't play her off as like a damsel in distress. Like, she is as strong, potentially more, like we don't know yet,
yeah,
for her, like the second she has the freedom, like she is coming out swinging too, you know, like it's not,
yeah,
it's not just like a, it doesn't feel like a weird sexual power fantasy thing like some anime tries to do with this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like they are setting up the horror of it, and like it's not played as a joke and like titillating. Yeah, it's like, I know, like that's, again, that's manga and anime to like a T, unfortunately, a lot of the time. But I don't know. I just thought it was relatively, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And, but it wasn't bad either, you know what I mean? Like,
and that was really my only gripe, right? Like,
yeah.
The rest of it, it does feel like a slam dunk. I think the animation is gorgeous. The colors are wild.
For me,
vocal performances are great.
Vocal performances.
It's Tanjiro.
Her voice, it's Tanjiro, and I don't know who, I can't piece her. She
Sam
is,
didn't believe me. I was like, that's Tanjiro.
Yeah, she is the total, like, stellar. Like, I was blown away by her vocal performance. Like, yeah. Just the movement of the show, like, you know, again, not to, like, go this, like, I was like, oh my god, Fooly Cooly, like, just, this is very Science Saru, like, this reminds me of when I watched, they did Scott Pilgrim earlier this year, or last year.
Right.
You know, like, all, like, just, I believe they did, like, Odd Taxi as well, they kind of just, like, their usage of colors and kind of movement, and I was blown away, but Dave, for me, it was their chemistry right off the fucking bat. I was like, these two are going to fall in love, and they are about to become best friends. Like, it's immediate.
It was right.
Like lightning. I was like blown away. I was like, I have never seen that in a show where right away I was like, these two are like ride or die right off the bat. I loved it. And like the way they open up to each other and they're already calling each other out. Again, like in the second episode, like they're not dragging that shit over 10 episodes.
Yeah.
She's like, you can't do that. Like, you can't push me out. Like, I'm, you know, I don't know. I thought it was exceptional. Truly exceptional.
No, I agree. This is like one of those, like, do we have something special on our hands kind of moments? Like,
yeah.
You know, I felt that way with the Lucifer Samurai pilot. We've actually had a really good calendar year to date. It's going to be crazy when we have to do our top fives. But
I know. I did a preliminary list today and it was tough.
It's a little daunting, yeah. But anyway, yeah, I feel that way. I feel like we have something special on our hands. And also, just on like animation in general, I just think like the choices are wild. Like, they are doing really creative shit in these episodes. Like, there's like, they're doing like the camera move angle. They're doing manga panels on screen. There's good CG. There's good cuts. There's good needle drops. The actual quality of the animation is cool.
Yeah.
They do really creative shit, like everything black and white, and then just select red color.
The way I was watching this, I was like, oh my god, Dave's gonna fucking erupt on this one here. The way it slowly fades to black and white, and like then you're just like in it, and she kind of, we know when she clicks into the fog. I was like, oh, that's really nice. Nice
yeah,
touch.
Man, it's like, yeah, they just creative, innovative, like cool shit. Like, this is what anime is supposed to be, you know what I mean, at its best. When you like want to show people like what's all the hubbub about, it's like you show them at one, like episode two of this was like, holy shit, that was a roller coaster.
What I love in the first episode, I love when there's the part where they call each other and like, you know, like, and something else where like we would just see that they're two different POVs and maybe they meet up later and they discuss, but like, they're on the phone, we can hear them experiencing together and they're getting to know each other on the phone. Like, it was like, you know, it was like I just thought like it was just like a cute romance, like kind of, you know, those late nights on the phone, get to know each other and this and that. It was just, I thought it was just super well done. And then, you know, like her side, just like the visuals of like where he is and where she is, and like just contrasting and like the themes of the cult versus aliens. And even in the second episode, they're like kind of giving little breadcrumbs of like, well, maybe they're the same, you know, like it's, I don't know, it's, but just, yeah, just really, really creepy. And Turbo Granny, I thought it. Unbelievable. Leanna was like, oh, do you know that's the same voice actor as Luffy? And I'm like, what? Huh? And so I rewatched both episodes yesterday, and I was like, oh my god, as if I missed that. That's clearly Luffy, like, especially in that first tunnel scene. But just the way he pops out of the phone and like kind of like the digital, like they really cue to like what might be aliens and what's the occult.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of like some digital feedback and the way like kind of things are summoned and whatnot. But yeah, dude, that was, and this opening song by Creepy Nuts, dude, is the vibest vibe.
Yeah, just it's like, a vibe.
Yeah, I had that blasted in the car today. I was like,
of course you did.
Yeah, dude. My playlist for life.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this is an every weeker. For me, what do you know? Day of the week comes out.
I believe tomorrow. I think tomorrow.
Okay. So while people, the pod will be one episode behind perpetually. Yeah. But that's just life sometimes. Okay, deal with it.
It's just the way it goes.
All right. What do you want to cover next?
So, when it comes to new shows, I know because we spoke earlier, you haven't checked out the season two opener, Shangri-La Frontier. I highly recommend you do.
There's so much that there's still stuff on my list here I haven't watched.
Yeah, I made a point. This weekend was like my clear up weekend. I got like, you know, before I could start anything new, I need to finish a couple shows. But no, Shangri-La, you know, it's more or less like, you know, it's not like, it's not reinventing the wheel from season one to season two. But I think kind of my point earlier when we were speaking is like, they just open up with like almost a like, I don't know, like 60% action. You know, they do like a little bit of talking, a little bit of bullshit in here and that, you know, kind of like, game, you know, getting into the gamified parts of the world. And then like when it comes down, like it was like A plus animation. I'm like, this show almost has like no business like looking this good. And I was blown away in the first season. And I remember they kind of held off a bit to really let go in that first season. It was like one or two episodes till they really popped off. And to see it in the second episode just like ignite like that, I was like, this is sick.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and get back because I gotta wrap up the end of season one for Shangri-La. Mm. But it's tough because I really want to see this Uzumaki thing, and it's just hard to.
Dave, it's only four episodes.
I know, so it'll be gone before I know it, right? Mm.
You see, all the articles came out about that, kind of just throwing each other under the bus.
Well, yes and no. Like you, so do you want to talk about it now?
Yeah, we can jump into that.
So. I mean, I haven't seen the pilot yet, but like maybe we'll just briefly touch on the fact that my understanding is good first episode, gigantic quality drop episode two, and then more drama ensues.
I think it was a huge drop from second to three, and I think the even more unbelievable thing was the drop from two to three.
Yikes.
Or sorry, one to two was bad, and then two to three is like, yikes, come on, guys. Like, it wasn't great before. No, it was just, it's a lot of like, I think like the ending point was like, screw American production studios, because that's what I think like the Japan side is like blaming things on, of like, this is why like we do things over here, because that was the thing, it was American produced but it was Japanese like animators.
And hasn't this been announced for 5 years?
This was announced 5 years ago and it was like coming imminently, this is like almost done, and then it got delayed by 5 years, which is like crazy to me. Like, I know.
And it launches ugly, like, or yeah, badly, with controversy. Like, what?
You know, and then, like, a producer or director had the whole thing. He's like, yeah, like, we were given options, and, like, you know, whatever he said. He was like, it was either one good episode, and it looks like shit, or not at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, so we went with that. People can, like, see, you know, shitty work, and I'm like, ooh, like, fuck. Like,
it's kind of the sunk cost fallacy, right? It's like, what do you do after so long? Maybe they were trying to figure it out, you know, behind the scenes, knowing that they had no more money to invest.
Yeah.
I don't know, but...
This is the second Adult Swim associated production that, like, just took a real nosedive in quality. It was that Ninja Kamui.
Oh, man, yeah, that was unbelievable. That first same thing. Episode, so super gorgeous. So gorgeous.
You know, it was the director of season one, or the fight animation producer from Jujutsu Kaisen season one. Like, there's all these, you know, it's, like, not for lack of talent, it's just, you know, it's just... probably time allocation and money. Like, no, you gotta stop working on this, you gotta do that thing. Like, that's my whole take with it. Like, if they had 5 years, it can't just be that they just, you know, continued to make it work on something for 5 years. There was probably huge chunks of time where like no one was allowed to touch it, or
sat. Exactly.
Yeah, so it's,
you know, what else is getting torn apart?
What's up?
Is Blue Lock season two is getting annihilated.
Really? Have you started it yet?
Yeah, I love it. Like, I fucking love that show. And first episode is like a bit of a, like, it's more of a season setup, so
like a recap or whatever. Yeah.
Kind of hard to notice if anything looks ultra terrible, but you get your first match in episode two, and yeah, I remember thinking, like, you know, it's funny, right, with the internet. Sometimes you're totally in sync, and other times you're like, you know, I was a little lukewarm on it. Basically, my take on episode two was like, wow, there's a lot of frames in this, like animated frames. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Where they take a manga panel and then they add like action lines to the top and bottom.
Okay, gotcha.
And I was like, there's like a lot more of this than I thought. Like, this is kind of weird. And then they do a lot, and I mean a lot, of what you would call like After Effects. Okay. It's like, you know, again, it's a manga panel of like someone kicking a ball with action lines, and then they add like fire to it to make it, but again, the frame isn't moving, right? Like, it's like, it's just a lot of prettied up frames. And then I started seeing people clown on it. Like, there's literally at one point, Grant, there's a PowerPoint transition, like, where it's like, they, you know, you turn the page.
Yeah,
there's one of those in there.
Oh, okay, that was the meme I saw this week. I saw a couple memes goofing on it, and I was like, I don't understand the context of this.
Yeah, so from what I understand, and this is based off this, like, what we know so far in the story as well, there's a really big game coming up, so people are assuming maybe they're saving the animation for that, but, like...
If not...
Ooh. My guess is, like, yeah, but that game seems pretty far away. Like, really far away. So... like, does this mean we're just sacrificing like a big chunk of the season?
Well, yeah, was Blue Lock last year?
A year or two ago. I don't know. Good question. I don't know.
Huh. That's interesting.
Let's see. Blue Lock season one air date. 2022, October. So, yeah, two full years.
So the problem, yeah, well.
Yeah, from October to March.
Makes you think what they're doing over at UFO Table.
Yeah, very weird, man. Like, because season
one. You know, no one's studio is the same, right? Like, it's, no. You know, talent is, you know, spread we have learned this all much. Across the board.
But,
damn, it's a bummer. I know you like that one.
I love it. So, yeah, like, we'll have to see how it goes. But, yeah, TBD. What else? Anything else on your list?
Last thing of like the new shows is the part three to the Thousand Year Blood War, Bleach.
Oh yeah, and
Dude, it is so good.
Yeah,
it's funny because like I never watched Bleach back in the day. But I, you know, last year or the year before, I read the full manga, and was like immediately fell in love. I was like, oh, this is like such an amazing story, and it's like I can't believe it. You know, I wasn't there for it at the time, and then like, you know, very. I think I had started reading it because I knew there was this famous last arc, which is like a lot of the, you know, the fandom was like, oh, like unfinished, like, you know, like the Kubo wasn't happy with it, the manga wasn't happy with it, and there's like, you know, some details and like kind of there was some like verbal retconning after like the series ended or whatever, and when they said they were coming back to like animate it, I was like, oh, okay, this is the perfect time. I've always had this curiosity of Bleach, and I fell in love with the manga.
Yeah.
The first two parts were awesome, amazing, really, really dug it. And they literally swung out, like, we're like, the first two episodes of this part are borderline finale fights, season finale fights, like, right out the gate. And it's just, like, I'm just eating. Like, you know, like I hear a Bankai on screen, I just, like, melt. I'm like, oh my god, like, I fucking love the show. I got Rory fucking saying Bankai at the dinner table.
Oh, let's go, dude.
Yeah, that's gonna backfire at school, I'm sure, one day.
Oh, 100%.
But, like, I don't know, dude. I really, really like it. It's super, super good. The animation is so slick. The
clips I see are gorgeous.
Oh, it looks dude.
Really cool.
Like, just, like, the style and tone they chose for this arc. Like, you know, I don't, like, old Bleach did not look like this. You know, like, this is, like, very, and there was, I know there was, like, a hint a couple weeks ago, and a lot of, like, you know, as per usual, internet fandoms ran with it. But there is, like, a rumbling that there might be, like, a remake situation.
Oh.
You know, like this style of like the animation. It's still this original studio making it from back in the day.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so studio Pierrot. I think it's French sounding. It's the same studio that did Naruto.
Okay.
You know, and yeah, I don't know. It's so cool, and I just love the world and the power system. You know, like you hear we always talk like whether it's Jujutsu Kaisen or My Hero and all these other shows, the power system just gets so convoluted. It's just, you know, with Bleach, like, from beginning to end, everything was so clear-cut. They introduce something new. It doesn't overrule a previous thing. Like, it just, you know, it just kind of adds. It doesn't kind of, you know, remix or anything like that. It just, you know, continues to get bigger and bigger without bloating itself.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I just, I really, really dig it. And, yeah, I will, my goal now is, like, go back and watch the old stuff. And to see, like, some of my favorite moments. Not watch, like, do a full series watch or anything like that. But, yeah, Bleach is fucking sick, dude. Like, everyone's dripped out. Like, just the way they use music and editing, and it's very, like, it's very hip-hop, you know, in a lot of weird ways. And just there's so much, like, you know, Hispanic influence, like, in a lot of the characters and the arcs and just, you know, their outfits. They're so out there. Like, the guy, the mangaka, Kubo, like, wanted to be in fashion. That was, like, his thing. So, like, he just kind of, like, manga was, like, his outlet. And, like, in the manga itself, in the panels, like, between each chapter, it was just, like, his take on the gang, like, completely, like, you know, fashioned out in, like, all different styles and over, like, it's so good, dude. Like, if there was, maybe there is, but if there was ever, like, a hardcover book, like, a coffee table book of all the inner panels of, like, them in, like, various styles and whatnot, like, I would get that. It's so, so cool.
Put it on the Christmas list.
Yeah, I'm now gonna research, see if it's out there, but
I still want that hardcover of the Full Metal Alchemist ones.
Oh, Full Metal Alchemist.
No, they have a coffee table book of, like, character designs and stuff, like, full color.
Leanne is reading her new manga. She's really digging it.
Oh, she you told me about because she put out a new one, right?
Yeah, Daemons or Demons of the Shadow Realm. And then it's like, she's like, it just looks like Full Metal. Like, that's she has awesome. A style, clearly. But yeah. She's really, 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 really digging it. It's a bummer because, like, the volume releases are, like, spread out by, like, 5-6 months
each. Oh, wow, that much.
Yeah, yeah. And
I hope that lady never has to work again. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree.
As far as I'm concerned, she completed a masterpiece in one of the better stories that we've seen in that medium. But, well, yeah, that's wild, dude. I was going to say, I want to briefly mention, I have a feeling you haven't seen any of it yet, but the Rings of Power did have its finale.
Oh, shit. No, I haven't seen it.
So that's done, and I mean, there's been a little bit of news that has broken since. On the positive side, 70 million people have seen it, and they have no intention of not doing any more. Right? They've like said publicly like it'll probably take about 5 seasons, but they also have not publicly said we're gonna do all 5. Their like PR response has been like, as long as people keep watching it in droves, we'll keep making it.
And people in droves are watching. So
exactly, but they did fire the whole writers' room, other than the showrunners. In general, I think I've told you, I've said it on this podcast plenty, but like this show and its fan base is just pure uranium. Like, it's unbelievable. It has, you know, 5 different subreddits dedicated to it because they're all varying levels of toxicity. I did find one that like is quite big and is mostly positive, but I'm not gonna go too far into it, but yeah, like it's book readers don't like it, everybody else relatively happy.
The problem, I think the one unique problem, I'm sure some people would argue with me and say, like, no, this is all fandoms, from novel to TV or film adaptations. But I think there's just something about Lord of the Rings and, like, it's such, like, an inception for all media and all, like, for all the stuff we're enjoying today. Like, without Lord of the Rings, like, it shaped everything, right?
It did.
It's hard to compare. And I think it's so coveted and so... people have so much ownership over it, more than anything, in my opinion. It's so hard. Like, there's no winning whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like, I really, like, you know, like, I don't know. But, it's about, like, so for you, like, did you think it's a writing problem? Like, for me, like, it was visual. I was like, oh, like, I don't dig, like, what I'm seeing.
Right.
Like, I felt a little, like, I don't know, like,
yeah,
you know, like, great value version of, like, you sure. know, like, what Peter Jackson did. Like, you know, it was a little too whimsical for me, but... But the world is whimsical. I don't know, like, it's hard to make everyone happy. Like, the writing to me wasn't like the worst thing about it.
Okay, so I think my conclusions, like, I have a few. The look was not my problem with it. Okay. I want to say this, like, on the record, I definitely enjoyed it. Sam enjoyed it. We will absolutely be watching more. At the same time, there were moments and scenes in every episode where I said we probably didn't need that. And I want to like be as honest as I can. Like, I genuinely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
In like particular, Charlie Vickers, who plays Sauron, and Charles Edwards, who plays Celebrimbor, have by far and away the absolute best performance of the season. They make it like this is like Sauron's show almost. Like does such an. In particular, they get a good amount of work together this season. And they...
Oh, yeah, duh, Celebrimbor, yeah, he's the ringmaker.
Yeah, dude, they like, best of the show. Remember, I think we talked a little bit about Galadriel and her performance in season 1 was, like, the high note?
Yeah.
By far and above, they are head and shoulders above everybody else on screen. Like, wow. They annihilate this show. I wouldn't be surprised if Charlie Vickers' season Emmy nomination, like, it was that good.
Really? And that's Sauron, you mean?
As Sauron, yeah.
Because he was my gripe with the first season. Like, I thought until the reveal happened, like, again, like, it, you know, caught by surprise, whatever you want to call it. But, like, I enjoyed him. And then, like, the heel turn, I was like, oh, this is, like, so fucking cartoonish. Like,
I know.
Is it still that not?
I think they gained a bit of freedom by getting out of their own way, right? As soon as you don't have to play cat and mouse with the audience on is he or is he not.
Sure.
And you're just like, okay, it's the bad guy. What's he doing? Let's watch him do bad guy stuff. Yeah. This season goes way deeper into like what makes him the deceiver. Yeah. Like, so now that the audience knows he's Sauron, he's infinitely more interesting.
And remind me, was his reveal, was that like a I lost my memory thing? Or was he deceiving the whole time? I can't remember.
He was deceiving the whole time. Okay. Yeah, this one. Yeah. Okay. And then,
curious.
It was, yeah, maybe, like, if you do check it out, maybe watch like a 2-minute recap or something. But yeah, he kind of manipulates Galadriel and really everybody throughout season one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that continues throughout season two. But
you know, dude, I'm gonna watch the first
episode. I really enjoyed it.
Tonight. I'm doing it tonight.
And what I'll also say, but okay, so as far as the problems go, it does, they probably could have cut 20% of the season. And I'm not kidding. Like 20% probably didn't need to be there. Like everyone's gonna have favorite plots and least favorite plots.
Sure.
I don't wanna like taint your outlook going in, but I
think last pod you had alluded to like what you didn't like the first
season. Yeah, but Sam and I, there are like a couple plots every time a couple people showed up. It's like, we don't need this. Like this isn't doing anything for the show. Yeah. And that remains. But yeah, I don't know, man. The guy,
is it like a lot of stuff that like they're setting up season three stuff, or was it like, oh, like, this is just, oh, okay.
But I could be wrong, right? Like, who knows exactly what they have planned. There's also, like, a couple key things that are definitely in spoiler territory that I won't mention that, like, I remember the moment I saw certain things happen on screen, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's going to piss off people who read the book. It probably will. So, like, there are, you know, they are playing at times with, like, the lore they have access to. But I don't know, man. Overall, it kind of, for me, became about the core conflict, right? It's Sauron versus everybody.
Sure.
And we know how this ends, and I want to know how he gets there. And like, I just really honed in on that. The rings make everything more interesting, right? Like, the show is actually moving at a bit of a clip now.
Okay.
You know, like little things like the Hobbit related stuff and the Gandalf related stuff, or not Gandalf, but you know, the Stranger stuff, like that kind of no, because
Freudian slip.
No, but yeah. Even then, like, it's that there's still like controversy there. But it, like, that slows the show down sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way.
Yeah,
but yeah, some plots don't go as far as you want, some move a little too fast. I don't know, it's definitely not perfect, yeah. But like, I liked it, you know what I mean? It's a 7, I enjoyed it.
It's a 7, I like that.
I think it's a good 7, and I think, like. Yeah, these people, you know, at the same time, I'm that fickle fan who told you, like, I'm not watching the Hobbit movies, right?
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
At the same, if you watch this and you go, you know what, dude, it's just not my jam, like, I won't blame you at all because I'm Exhibit A. Like, Lord of the Rings fans are just fickle and opinionated. So I also, like, you made a really good point about, like, the Peter Jackson trilogy, like, really is kind of sacred to a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like talking to people who grew up in the 70s with the original Star Wars, or the 70s and 80s with Star Wars. Like, it's literally the same thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's been anything since to kind of like take that mantle. Did you, I guess quickly, because we're, you know, we're coming up on the end there, but did you check out the next episode of Penguin?
No, so I think Sam, she let me down easy, but she's like, listen, I just don't think I want to watch that. I was like, so okay, I have to find a way to... I got Grant with that.
That is fucking funny.
I think she was just like, listen, like, you know, it's just so dark. And I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough. And as you know, like, living in a household, like, finding time for a 1-hour dark drama on your own is actually kind of tricky. But I'm committed to making it work because I'm really interested in Batman 2. I really like Colin Farrell and who he's playing opposite. Is it Sophia?
Meliodi,
Kristen? Yeah, Kristen? I'm really interested to see how that goes. So I'm just gonna have to find time.
She is. So far in these episodes we've seen, like the three that you've seen, you know, she is a powerhouse. She's an incredible actress. Did not know the range she had in general in the first three. Like, you know, I knew her as like that Palm Springs movie and then How I Met Your Mother. This next episode, I was like, whoa, like, you should not be doing TV. Like, you should be doing movies, like, exclusively.
Yeah, it's funny.
Not that there's something wrong too. You know what I mean? It was like a movie star performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that is the vibe her character introduction gave you in the first episode. And I remember being like, I'm so curious. Because, you know, she got like that bit part in like the Wolf of Wall Street movie. She had like an important...
Fuck, I forgot about that too.
She had an important but not altogether major part in that How I Met Your Mother series, which at the time was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, where'd she go after that? And it's... Yeah, this part seems to work, so I really want to see more of that. But so I swear I will watch it. You have... you've enjoyed the last couple episodes?
Yeah, loved it. Loved it, yeah. I thought, like... We had talked about it last time. Like, I'm just kind of blown away with... I guess we haven't talked about episode 3 then either.
Because, or 3, because I haven't seen them.
Oh, you haven't seen them?
No.
Oh, you've only seen the pilot?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. Dude. I gotta catch
it. I thought it was the most recent one.
No. I've tried twice, and then Sam's like, all right, listen, you're just going to have to take the L here. I'm not watching that. No, it's okay.
I was singing the gospel of Penguin over Thanksgiving to like anyone that I could talk to about it. And it's just such an unassuming, you know, like you think you're getting one thing, and then like after the second episode, you're like, holy shit, like this is genuinely just trying to be what it wants to be. Yeah. Like it's not like, you know, and, but I've been, Dave, it's funny. I've been legitimately running into this problem where I have to rewind scenes because I block out what's being said and I'm just staring at him trying to find Colin Farrell and I can't. And it's like, oh, I missed all like, you know, like that whole dialogue in that scene. And I got to go back because like, I just get so transfixed. Like, I know he's in there. I can hear him sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's the makeup work is exceptional. Like they have that in the bag for the Emmys. As far as I'm
concerned. That seems like, probably like a W. Because
they want it. They want it for the Oscar, did they not?
Oh.
I think Greg Fraser won for the cinematography.
The Batman was that 2021 or 2022?
I think that might have been 22.
Nominee. I'm sure this is great listening, yeah. But
click.
Don't you want to know? Must be nomination 22. For okay, no, 3 noms, no wins.
No wins. What a great
makeup, hairstyling, best sound, and best achievement in visual effects.
Yeah, was.
But no dubs keys. But yeah, we'll see, man. God, that was such a good movie. You know, I rewatched The Killer the other day. Just falling asleep. Not David Fincher.
Yeah.
God, Michael Fassbender, man.
He is the best.
So good.
I think I need to rewatch that one, actually.
It's such a fun movie. It made me think, like, man, I wonder if this movie would have annihilated if, like, the John Wick series hadn't happened. Or if maybe would this movie even exist without John Wick happening?
No, because, like...
There's a lot of similarities. Now, clearly, very different movies.
Right? But, like, the whole point of The Killer is, like, he sets himself up to be, like, this, like, true machine. And, like, you know, but he's, like, a fucking loser. it's played up to the point where, like, he's not. Like, he's so on and this and that. And he has these rules. And, like, he's, like, fumbles the bag nonstop. But, I don't know. David Fincher movies in theaters just don't do well anymore, unfortunately.
No, this wasn't even in theaters, was it?
No, it was a Netflix collaboration.
Yeah, what are you gonna
do? I think it was the deal. You do The Killer, we'll let you do Mank, I think was the, or no, sorry, if you do Mindhunter, we'll give you something, and he did Mank and The Killer.
Right, and then he never finished Mindhunter.
And no one was like openly like, I'm not doing that.
I don't want to. Oh, okay. I'm glad you set up 2 unbelievably good series, seasons incredible. Of television to not complete it. The most David Fincher thing ever, actually. You're aware he like recorded a full podcast with Maron and then left, and then the day later was like, don't release that.
Oh, I did not know that, actually. Yeah.
It's like that happened like 10 years ago.
Oh.
But it's this joke Maron goes back to every now and again about like, hey, maybe you'll hear it one day along with the unreleased David Fincher podcast.
10 years ago? What the...
I don't know, but it was literally... It was several years, I'll say that.
I was going to say, if it's 10 years, it's going to be a fun experiment to figure out what movie he was there to talk about.
Yeah.
But okay, so you got anything left, Dave?
No, I mean, I got random news. Like, one thing we haven't actually talked about and I'm sure it'll come up in subsequent episodes, is we haven't talked about Joker 2, but I'm not going to see it, so.
No, you don't want to just go see to see?
Okay, when I say I'm not going to see it, no, yeah, hear me out. When I say I'm not going to see it, it's not like I've decided, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that at all.
Time.
It's more that there's so much I need to watch.
I'm not going to run to, like, this known bad thing.
Yeah, like, and it's not like I care so much about the reviews that I've let them, like, taint it. It's just, like, The vibe I get is like it's not must see, and I feel like I have must see TV on my list. Like I'm looking at Uzumaki, not done. Two episodes of The Penguin, not done. Shangri-La Frontier, you know what I mean? Like there's all this shit I got to do. I just don't know if I'm running to confirm whether or not Todd Phillips shit the bet on yet another sequel.
Very interesting Variety or Deadline article that I urge people to read. Very, very interesting read.
The one we talked about. Yeah, we shared, the one we're talking about. Very interesting.
Random, like, weird beef thrown in with Bradley Cooper at one point. I was like, oh, that's very fucking peculiar. Out of nowhere. But, well, instead of watching Joker fully adieu, I would recommend, not immediately, but before the season 3 comes out, I need you to watch Oshinoko.
No.
Yeah, dude. You have to. you actually have to. I was watching, like, I was behind by the last 4 episodes of the season. It was wrapped up. And, because it's on High Dive. What a fucking awful anime service. Yeah. Like, it does not fucking work. The apps always constantly crash. It doesn't sync up. Like, the audio is always off. It just pisses me off because, like, I love the show so much. I just want, you know, when you're sitting down, it's one of the most, like, things you're looking forward to the most, genuinely, and it just doesn't fucking work and it's all in your control. And it's because, but, no, just in the finale, I was like, oh my God, like, this is such a Dave show. It's incredible. Like, it's, they just continue to, like, loop you back in. Every episode always finds a way to hook you. Like, in a similar way, and I'm not baiting you here, but you know how Attack on Titan just, like, would always have like just like a little bit of a hook at the end, just
season one especially. I remember they were so good for that.
Oshinoko is every single episode from season one and two. It's just like it just giving you a little bit more
little hook
for the next one to keep you thinking to the next one. You're there and then you think you get it together and then it hits you with the next one and then boom, season three, we'll see you next year. So
interesting,
but incredible season. I just like what they do kind of going over that, you know social media and performance arts and just the CD, kind of just the behind the scenes stuff. I really, really dug it. But
All right. Yeah. I mean, awesome. Maybe I'll take a look. Maybe I'll see if I can get Sam to sit down for the pilot. I can't remember if we did already or not. But
I block out 90 minutes. It's an hour and a half.
Oh my God.
It's a movie, but that's the thing.
That's why
it's
said instead of the Joker. I see.
Yeah. So it's
all right. Well,
good stuff.
I'm sure that'll be easy to pitch.
Okay. I think Sam might enjoy it.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where you got to give her the up. You know what? If you hate this 30 minutes in, we could just call it. And if I like it, I'll keep watching it. And that, maybe that's how you do it.
Yeah.
God, all right. Next time we get back here, Grant, we're going to talk about Diablo, Vessel of Hatred.
Yeah, dude.
And dude, I might be done reading Berserk by then, too. And we're going to have to start discussing what we want to do on the pod.
Get our camera angles ready.
Oh boy, I've fallen down that rabbit hole. I got nightmares about it last night, which is like awesome.
I love it. I'm excited.
Yeah, dude. Berserk content coming soon, but I think we might need to get the volume 2 of that thing on order if they're ordered.
We should.
More to be discussed. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, or YouTube, feel free to go ahead and do that now. And if you want to keep up with all of our comings and goings, follow us on Instagram at Part-Time Otaku Podcast or on the TikTok. That's right. We do the talk of ticks for street youths. Share it with your friends. Have them listen, subscribe, etc. Grant, go ahead. Say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.